All right, let's stand as we read Romans chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, just two verses. Then we'll look at four things which God teaches us. How do we face tribulations? Okay, how do we face testings in our lives? Okay, in Romans chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Ready? One, two, begin. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray once again you strengthen us with your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we seek to understand what you have to teach us. Lord, as we face the temptations and trials of this life, we know, Lord, that none of us are exempted from it. All of us will go through it at some time or another. But Father, I pray you arm us, equip us with your word, that when we face these things, we can be strong in Christ. We can be strong in his spirit. We can be strong in his grace. And we can continue, Lord, to be obedient soldiers and servants of our Most High God, the one who loves us and does everything according to his own will. Lord, thank you. Bless us with your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, you know, as you maintain your love for God and your hatred of sin, in verse 10, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, hate or abhor, refrain, move away from that which is evil. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, cleave to that which is glued, that means hold on to that which is good. As you maintain your love for God and your hatred for sin, you know, as you maintain your love for your brethren, the Bible says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another. That means have love in your heart that makes you connected with your friend, or a feel of warmth and friendship and Christian love for each other. As you love one another, as you prefer one another, there may be trials in your life. It's interesting because as you seek to do right, and I think the interesting, I was just studying this passage, Paul seems to put it in such a way that firstly, you give yourself to the Lord, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, the Bible says, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your first step. So as you present yourself to God, be not conformed to this world. As you live separated from the world, then as you begin to have the spiritual giftings that God gives to serve the Lord in the local church, and then as you hate sin and love God, and as you do the right things for God, you will face tribulations. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 1:29, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Wrong. That was in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There will be opposition. There will be trials in life. When you choose to live for God, Satan puts you on his radar. If you don't want Satan on the radar, don't live for God. But you know what? It's always a blessing to live for God. Amen? It's always a privilege to live for our Savior. It is a privilege that after we know what Jesus has done for us, we will want to live our lives for him. You know, how do we face trials then? You know, many Christians, Satan knows that sudden attacks can actually stumble anyone. If something happens that we are not expecting, it can actually stumble us. It can actually cause us to fall. And Satan knows that in normal fights or war, there's this thing called the element of surprise. You surprise so-called the enemy. And Satan likes to surprise us. So how should we face trials? I believe God wants us to understand four principles, four Bible-given principles. When we face trials, what do we do? Okay? Number one, we need to rejoice in the hope that we have. Rejoice in the hope that we have. The first thing Paul says, Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope. As you face the trials, rejoice in hope. We face trials by rejoicing in hope. I hope we all know that the hope of the believer is a sure hope. It's not like, I hope today won't rain. I hope today will rain. You know, Singaporeans are like that. If it's whole day don't rain, we complain too hot. Whole day rain, we complain we cannot do anything. Singapore always complain. Okay? But you know, when you say, I hope it won't rain, It's a 50-50, right? But for God, the hope we have is 100%. Because the Bible says, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said it, shall not he do it? Or had he spoken it, shall he not he make it good? God's promises are sure. We can rejoice in the hope because the hope is based on the promises of God. And God cannot lie. Amen? That's why we can trust God. If God says one lie, he stops being God. But you know, as believers in Christ, we can say, oh, God won't lie. That's what the Bible says. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I was going through this. I believe it's a very important passage to understand of the nature of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, to teach a backslidden group of Christians, it's us, it's referring to the Corinthian church, Paul was saying certain things helps the Corinthian church and us to understand the seriousness when God promised something. Okay, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be yea, yea, nay, nay? Simply understood, if you study a little bit more, you realize Paul was saying, did I come to you half-heartedly? Did I come to you is, I want to come, don't want to come. Did I do things out of the flesh? Do I kind of want to do this, don't want to do this? But the Bible says in verse 18, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. You know what Paul is saying? Because I know God is true. When we came to you, we were very sure that was God's will. It wasn't like nay and yea. It wasn't inconsistent. Okay? And then in verse 19, because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Salvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Paul brings out the gospel and said, we are telling you the gospel. And when Silas, Salvanus, another name for Silas, when Timothy came to preach to you the gospel, they were not uncertain. They were very sure that the gospel to them was yes. And in verse 20, because all the promises of God in him was sure, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Paul, through this passage, is telling the Corinthian church, when we came to you, we were very sure it was God's will. Because all of the gospel, when Jesus Christ died for us, rose again, and the promise that he will save us when we repent from our sin, put faith in Jesus Christ, is 100% sure. And that's why all the promises in the Bible, if the gospel is true, everything else is true. That's what Paul is telling us. Them. And so, God is not saying half here, half there. My promises for my children are always 100% sure. That's why we can rejoice in hope. That's why when the trials come, say, God, you are still true. You are still true. In the afternoon, I'll share a little bit about that because I believe sometimes the situations of life blur our minds to the character of God. God is still true in all situations, even when it looks bad. God is still true. And that is an interesting, very, very important principle for us. And I'll give you three reasons why we can rejoice in hope. Number one, because we know trial we face helps us to grow. We can rejoice in hope because God promises that the trial we face will help us to grow. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, if you want to turn there, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, different kinds of troubles. Count it all joy. Interesting. Apostle Paul said rejoicing in hope. Apostle James says count it in joy. You know who wrote the Bible? God. They're both saying the same thing. Paul says rejoice in hope. James says count it all joy when you fall into trouble. You know why? The truth was given by God. In trials we can rejoice. Count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. It works endurance, which is our next one. It will help us to grow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the second reason why we can rejoice in hope, because it helps us grow. Number two, we grow in our dependency on Christ. We grow in our dependency on Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, many of us will know the story. Paul was telling the believers in Corinth, you know, I had a vision, or rather someone had a vision, it was him. He went to heaven, and he saw things that he shouldn't say. God says you're not supposed to tell everyone what you see in heaven. And so when Paul actually came down to earth, he could have been very proud. But Paul actually says, in order to help Paul not to be so proud, God actually sent a thorn in his flesh, which is many people believe he couldn't see properly. And when he couldn't see properly, it humbled him. And Paul said this, he prayed three times for God to remove it. God says no, in verse 9. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, Paul, you don't need me to take the thorn away. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. One man of God said this, there is only one thing God doesn't have. Do you know what that is? Weakness. Our God is always strong, amen? He doesn't have weakness. But you know what? He says, let's make an exchange. You give me your weakness and I give you my strength. You think it's a good deal? How many of you think it's a good deal? How many think it's a good deal? I give God my weakness, God give me his strength. Not many people are listening. Not many people think it's a good deal. But you know what God says? You give me your weakness, I'll give you my strength. Because God says, my strength is made complete in your weakness. And God, in the design of trials, seek to take away human pride. To tell us at last, there's something that humans, you just cannot control. You need God. And God told Paul, you don't need me to take that away. Because if I know you take that, I took that away from you, you're going to be proud. And Paul learned that. And you know what? Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is God's will that through trials we grow in our dependency on Christ. That we seek him more. That we read his word more. That we be on our knees more. That we really put away the things of this world more and say, God, I need you. I need you to teach me. I need you to help me grow. That's why God put trials so that we can grow, so that we can increase our dependency on Christ. And you know what? The next one, because we will receive the crown of life. In James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Notice the source of your endurance. You know what's the source of your endurance? It's not how strong I am. It's where's your heart. You read the verse carefully. The Bible actually says, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that endure. Promise them that love him. That love him. Because when you love someone, you will endure. That's why many parents, even though they can be sleepy or whatever, if their child is sick, they will still endure sleeplessness to take care of the son, child, right? Why? You can say, I know of one particular mother who, when the son is sick, fever, she was in the pub drinking with her friends. I don't think that's love. But I know the mother who loves a son or daughter would say, Lord, I pray you help my daughter to get better. I know her fever is high, and the mother would, or the father would just kind of have sleepless nights just to take care. Why? And endure the long night. Why? Because of love. The reason why we endure is because of love, and God wants to develop that, our love for Jesus Christ. And God promises he'll give us a crown of life. Okay? Number one, we can rejoice in hope as we face trials. But number two, how we face trials, we need to be patient in tribulation. We need to endure. We need to be enduring the tribulation we face. We need to endure. The word patient means persevering under situations you have no control over. Okay, persevering under situations you have no control over. Many of you will know Jaira is in civil defense, and I don't want to be in his shoes. One of the training they have to go through is they will push you into a very narrow room or narrow kind of tunnel. Once you go in, there's only one way to get out, the other side. Because if you train to be a fireman, you know, there's heat and all that, so it's hot, it's... How many of you are claustrophobic? You don't like very small, confined places, okay? If you are about my size, you don't like small, confined places. You need, you feel very... Ugh. And you know what they'll do? They'll push you through. And say, the only way you get out is you scream for help, or you get up the other side, and now he has to go in there, he has to climb up, and it's going to be hot, it's going to be a lot of pressure, you're going to be scared, and the only way you get up is through, and you just have to be patient. And apparently one way, and one of the things they do is, they won't help you out. The only time you can get out is when you give up. It's only when you give up. And I think the principle they want to drill in these firefighters is, people depend on you. You cannot give up. Because when you are in the real fire, there's a girl who is fainted over the other side. The girl depends on you to go through to bring her and pull her out of there. Does that make sense? You cannot give up in the fire. You cannot give up in the fire. And I believe this one strong principle they're trying to train in the firefighters. Jerry is hopefully going to go through that. And he's going to have to need to be patient in the trials. You need to be patient in the trials. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let's turn there, all right? How do we face the tribulations? How do we be patient? Or rather, how do we endure the tribulations that we face? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, God gives us one principle, and then I turn you to another passage. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Who can tell me, what did Apostle Paul teach in chapter 11? Chapter 11 of Hebrews. It talks about people of faith. People of faith. And so, talking about Samson, talking about Isaac, talking about Abraham, talking about Noah, talking about Abel, talking about Joseph, talking about Moses, talking about Jephthah, talking about all the men of God who through faith went through the tribulation. So what do you think the first thing we need when we face to endure our trials? Number one is faith. We endure trials by faith. You don't endure trials by your strength, because your strength will run out. Your strength will run out. And sometimes people will keep going, but you know what? Once you get to the point where you're giving up, you know what? Your heart has to tell you, I cannot give up because there's someone over there that needs my help. Because after a while, your physical strength can run out. But you know, all of this men of God in Hebrews have faith. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just take a look at a few. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God told him something that he has never seen yet. Know what that is? Rain. Noah has never seen rain. But God told Noah, it is going to rain. All right, Noah? Okay. He's never seen rain. That's why the Bible says, by faith, Noah, when he was warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark. Now, this is an interesting thing. In order to face the trials of life, we must already be putting faith into action. Did you get that? Before we can effectively, confidently face trials in life, we must be in a position where we have already learned that God says what he means what he says. I may not understand everything, but that's fine. I need to just do what he tells me to do. So when Noah heard God is going to send rain, what did he do? He built a boat. And that's interesting. Can you imagine if you are Noah's neighbor today? Okay, you live beside Noah. Then suddenly, after a few weeks, he said, Noah, what is all this wood coming into your place? I'm going to build a boat. Why? Why are you building a boat? Well, God says it's going to rain. What is rain? I don't know. God just says it's going to rain. For 120 years, the Bible says 120 years, Noah built the ark. Not one person came to Christ. Because the Bible says Noah preached for 120 years. Not one person believed him. Did Noah press on? Did he build the ark? Yes, he did. Parents, are you listening? It's interesting, Noah built the ark and saved who? His family. The world may not listen to the gospel, but the family did. Or whether the family believed him or not, they were saved. But what I'm saying, Noah carried only one thing. God said it, I believe it, I do it. And then going on to Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, Paul was saying, look guys, you have seen all these people who heard the word of God, who believed the word of God, who acted the word of God. That's the first thing. Faith must be in action. You must have already been trusting God actively. But it's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 also, he talks about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Putting away sin is a very important thing in dealing with the trials you face. Because when we allow sin in our lives, God will not hear us. And therefore, you will not have God's help. It's not because God doesn't want to help. And sometimes, in God's mercy, He may still help. But we have no guarantee of God's help. Because He says, if we regard sin in our hearts, God will not hear us. Psalm 66 and verse number 18. So we need to understand all these Bible principles. So number one is by faith. How do we endure in the tribulation we face? Number one, by faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we all know the verse, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that comes to Him, God, must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, God wants us to put faith in Him before He acts. God wants us to put faith in Him before He acts. You know how? Is that, you know how God decides whether you have faith? By what you do. What do I mean? When Moses and the group of the Israelites were at the Red Sea, God told Moses, I'm going to open the Red Sea. But the Red Sea is not open yet. When did God open the Red Sea? When Moses went to the edge and put his rod down, then it opened. Because Moses put faith in God's word, I'm going to open the Red Sea, you touch, you open. When the children of Israel came to the River Jordan, and God says, you are going to cross over, I'm going to open the River Jordan for you. The only time that God opened the River Jordan, when the priest holding the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the water, then it opened. You see, God doesn't play games with us. It's either you believe or you don't believe. And you believe means you put faith in that. God doesn't kind of argue, no, you do first then. No, no, no. It's you believe, you do. You don't believe, you don't do. Does that make sense? Faith without works is dead. All right? And so how do we show our faith? By our works. Okay? And so the first thing we need to do is to put faith in Christ. Put away our sin and put away the weights. The weights are not things that are wrong, but things that control our hearts. Okay? It could be a game, it could even be a job, it could be friends, it could even be family. It can become a weight. Number one, by faith we face it. But number two, in Job chapter 23, verse 10 and 12, let's turn there, okay? And this is an interesting one as I was looking through it. How do we endure in tribulation? We need to endure the tribulation by faith. And when you endure it by faith, it's not just, okay, I need to believe. You are believing in a God that knows what He's doing. You are trusting Him. So how do you trust Him then? In Job chapter 23, verse 10 to 12, Let's read from 10 to 12, okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How do we endure the tribulation that we go through? By faithfulness. First, we put our faith in a God that knows what he's doing. And then we, by our own faithfulness to the things he tells us to continue doing. You know what he's basically saying? You do what you're supposed to do and let God do what he's supposed to do. Does it make sense? We are in no control over the trial sometimes, but God is, amen? God is in control. But God says, you continue just to be faithful in what you're supposed to do. That's why if you read Job, he says, my foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. In other words, Job says, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm still going to be faithful to you. I'm going to obey everything you say. I'm not going to lose my integrity. In fact, when I search the scriptures about Job, how Job says, I'm not going to give up my integrity in God. I will still keep on doing right, even though I'm going through the toughest time in my life. Job lost everything. But Job says, by faithfulness, I will still trust him. Job 13 verse 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Number two is by faithfulness. Okay? So how do we endure in the tribulation we face? I didn't put that out. Okay, I'll just read this. Your faith in him is your dependency on him. Your faithfulness to him, in other words, your duties to him, shows him you're on his side. Did you get that? Your faith in him shows your dependency on him. You trust him. That God's character is holy, he's just, he knows what he's doing, he's wise. But our faithfulness to what he tells us shows 100% whose side you're on. That you're on his side. Say, God, you can do what you want with me. I'm still your loyal child. I will still love you. I will still be on your side. So enduring in trials. The next one, continuing instant in prayer. All right. I'm sorry, I list out so important. Continuing instant in prayer. We need to stay prayerful as we face the tribulation. You see, God doesn't expect us to face trials without resources. So why does he keep on asking us to continuing instant in prayer? Because prayer accesses God's resources. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I want you all to picture in your mind a throne room. A throne room, okay? A throne room. A room that only the king and his children can come in. So in the throne room, there is a throne. Who sits on the throne? The Lord Jesus Christ. The throne is called the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Think about that. Throne of grace. And this is not a throne. We can do better. Just imagine this chair. Everything about this thing is grace. Everything that you ever need is grace. The whole throne, the person that will sit on it is also gracious. Our Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace. And the Bible says, come unto the throne of grace, the place that God sits on. We don't come to the throne of judgment, amen? We don't come to the throne of, have you done this or not? No. When we are broken, say, God, I need you. God says, you come to the throne of grace. And that is where you will find help in times of need. God is not going to judge you when you go into trouble. Because he says, come, my child, come into the throne room of my grace. 100% grace. Everything you will ever need. All the shelves. You know, not a supermarket. You go, I need this, I need this, I just go and take. No, God says, I'll give it to you. It's all grace. All right? God says, let us therefore come. Don't just come, I can't do it, I'm so bad. No, come boldly. Come confidently. Come with all your heart. Come say, God, you are my God. And I believe when I come, you are going to help me. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. That we will receive. The word obtain means to receive mercy. And find grace to help in time of a need. Our God is good. He has even prepared a special throne for all those who really need Him. Why do we continue instant in prayer? That we may access God's resources. Because your resources and my resources is not going to be enough to face the trials of this life. You need God's resources. His resources is 100% guaranteed. He don't even need to say money back guarantee. It is confirmed to meet the need, amen. Because He's God. And He knows the need and He will provide that need. But I believe there's something more important as we continue instant in prayer. Because in trials, when trials come, what is the main thing? What do we focus most on in trials? What do we focus most on in trials? Two things. The trouble and how we are going to do it. Okay? I believe the reason why God wants us to continue instant in prayer is that prayer focuses more on God and less on self. Focuses more on God, less on self. In 1 Thessalonians 15, chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Continuing saying prayer, in everything give thanks. And sometimes it's not easy to give thanks in some situations. But you know, God says in everything give thanks. You know, many years ago I preached this. I still remember who was at Tatilopo, and she's in the room right now, okay? You know, the Bible says in everything give thanks. You know what it means? In everything you give thanks. When you are thanking someone, are you focusing on yourself? You're focusing on, and you're thanking the other person. You know what God is saying? As you continue instant in prayer and you give thanks, you're giving thanks to God. Because when we focus on ourselves in times of trials, we get discouraged and we struggle. But when we say, God, thank you. Yeah, give thanks with tears in your eyes, that's fine, but give thanks. Because God says in everything, give thanks. In your best times, when you graduate, when you're promoted, when you're celebrating, but give thanks when you're in the valley. Give thanks. Why? And I'm telling you point blank, this is God's will. Every believer needs to come to the place of learning to give thanks. God, as our Heavenly Father, gives us the instruction and command to obey, to give thanks. As His Heavenly Father, it's like a father on earth said, please pick that up. That's an instruction, right? God is saying, give thanks. You know why? Because He knows in the pain of our trials, sometimes we come. So God says, no, you give thanks. You just obey me. Because when we start obeying Him, then He can help us out. Does that make sense? Okay. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God. It's God's will. It's God's will. For you who are in Christ Jesus, concerning you, concerning the situations you have, concerning who you are. In everything, give thanks. Sometimes it's hard. That's why we need to pray. That's why I say, God, I'm giving you thanks. You know, as you are giving God thanks and in your relationship with Him, God will come through. He will give you what is necessary to meet that need. Stay prayerful as you face the trials. And one more thing before we finish. It's interesting that God actually put this in. In the phrasing of the Greek language, the commentators saw that this was a package. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality, as you face the trials, meet the needs of other people. Because as you're giving thanks and you're helping others, you take your eyes off your situation to help other people. And through your helping other people, God helps you. Does that make sense? Because when you... The principle is not just the helping, which is important. And sometimes if we don't understand God, you're asking me to help someone else, I can't even help myself, you know. God does give us time. But you know it comes upon God. Just like if you read in the Bible, remember Elijah? Elijah was discouraged after the Mount Carmel, right? 1 Kings chapter 18. Then in 1 Kings 19, Jezebel was going to kill him and he ran away and he was tired and he said, oh, I'd rather die. You know what God did? You know what's God's answer to him? Number one, I want you to anoint the next king of Israel. I want you to anoint the next king of Judah. And I want you to do something. Three things he's supposed to do. It's interesting. At the lowest point of Elijah's life, God gave him an instruction to go and do something. You know why? That is one of the ways God gets us out. God has even given us mechanisms to help us if we just obey him, to do those things. And the more we get out, later on, God actually gave Elijah the answer to the situations in his life. You say, God, I'm the only one left over. God says, ha, 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 sorry. There are 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal. You think you're the only one? You're not the only one. I've got 7,000 who are still loyal to me, Elijah. Just be faithful. God wants us to learn that even in our trials, meet the needs of others, the necessity of saints, given hospitality. Yes, there is a time that God, we need to meet God in the valley, and God will meet us there. And as we grow, as we say, God, I need you, and God may just give us just two bits, just help, so that God can give the strength to actually continue. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible teaches us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, that refers to the Christian. Hebrews 13, verse 2, refers to the non-believers. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And in those days, it's interesting. Last time, the people were very poor. So hotels are very lacking. Nowadays, you go to Manila, you go to Singapore. Everywhere they want to build hotels. Dubai, you know, they build a lot of hotels. Why? People are traveling, got a lot of money. Last time, they don't. They don't. So a stranger may go past, and Paul gave the instruction to show Christian love and hospitality. You'll be given to hospitality. Be willing to share your resources with someone who may have a need. That is an expression. How many of you know what Hebrews, this is Hebrews 13:2, right? You know what Hebrews 13:1 says? Let brotherly love continue. And then practically take care of the needs of people. Okay? So in trials, spend that time with God. Rejoice, endure, pray. These are the three very basic things that we need to take ourselves through. Okay? Rejoice. That's in your tears, you can say, God, I rejoice in the hope that I have. Whatever the situation you may have in your life, you know, like this week we went through a hard time. All of us, we were surprised. I know some of us wept openly. It's okay to cry. God gives us permission to cry. Jesus wept. I mean, he cried, not just one time. He wept in the book of Luke as well. As he looked at the children of Israel, they were so rejecting of God. He wept over Israel. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. For as believers, God allow us all these things to help us, actually to help us feel better. So that we can press on and say, rejoice in the hope. But you know what? It's not just about expressing ourselves, which is a normal part of that response to a situation like what we face. But there are clear spiritual Bible instructions we still need to obey. God's prescriptions to help us out, to strengthen us. Rejoice, be patient, and continuing instant in prayer. And it's interesting, to be completely whole, we need a fourth one too. But God focuses 75% on the person. And then as you are strengthened, go and meet someone else's need. And that is God's way of strengthening us as we face. You know, all of us will face trials of different kinds. Remember that God is still on the throne. You can rejoice in the hope of God. Be patient, pray, and do good to each other, all right? Let's have a word of prayer as we close.